Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back to Two Middle-Aged Men in Cleveland. Ken Dworznik and Ted Klopp bringing you the best humor we can give you as often as we can give it to you. After our first episode, Ted, we had a few people come back and say that they enjoyed listening to us. They either enjoyed it or
we didn't even have to pay them.
They're trying to be nice.
So. Yeah, we didn't have to pay them, did we?
No, but we do have a sponsor.
We do. This podcast is now being sponsored by Westminster Technologies. WestminsterTech.com and WestminsterAV.com.
We appreciate that sponsorship.
Yep.
Thank you, Erica Klopp, for that. So
speaking of Erica Klopp, my best boss. Did your fiance find the podcast, and what was her reaction?
The only comments that were made that you and I both have a good radio voice.
Okay.
I would hope so. We paid enough for school. So
you're supposed to do this
as a career. You actually did this as a career, and I just decided to sit as a grad student and do some SID work and work for a couple universities, but I never really did radio and television. So.
I'm still waiting for feedback. I don't believe my wife is aware of this yet.
That might not be a bad thing.
I don't know if we'll see. Things are a little crazy at home. So, you know, Facebook isn't the top of the priority list, and nor is listening to your husband talk for 20 minutes when she gets to hear that, you know, for the rest of the day.
No doubt. We talked a little bit about this in our last episode, actually our first episode that we've done for this. So what is maybe specifically with your kids? Is there any kind of funny stories or anything like that you've experienced with your kids or anything in general?
Well, I'll tell you the story that stopped me in my tracks. It's a proud dad moment. So I go upstairs and my middle son is playing in the hallway and in the bathroom. He's got his Green Army men set up, and they are squaring off against containers of mouthwash. And I notice as I walk by the bathroom that the floor looks like it's recently been swept. Or wiped. It's glistening. And I said, "Hey, what happened?" And he said, "Oh, I spilled something." I said, "Oh, so you wiped it up and cleaned it up?" He says, "Yeah, I cleaned it up, Daddy, because you and Mommy do too much for us already."
Oh, come on, that's outstanding.
That was a highlight. What about you?
I don't necessarily have those stories right now. My kids have been spending time with their mom, and which is, you know, certainly very hard and all that stuff. We're just trying to keep them centrally located. I have had the opportunity to see them on some weekends, but I mean, we've had interaction with the phone and internets and stuff like that, and Facebook and FaceTime and all that. So it's been really, really good. But that reminds me of a story. Obviously, right now, a lot of people are having trouble with the internet. You know, a lot of different things going on, a lot of scams being run and all that kind of stuff. And I just came back to this story. When I worked at Padua, my first day, I was athletic director there from 2004 to 2008. And I was excited. I was 28 years old, first job. Came from Ashland. You know, I got good recommendations from Al King, who was the sports information director at Ashland, my boss, and then Bill Goldring. Here I go. I'm in charge of the department. So we need to get some sporting good equipment. Okay, so got the internet, and I'm going to fire this up. All right, where am I going to go? I'm going to go to, obviously, Dick's Sporting Goods. I'm going to go to dickssportinggoods.com. Well, I didn't put in Dick's Sporting Goods. I abbreviated it. Just put in 5 letters.com.
Yeah.
And what came up was not what I was looking for. So
I would imagine not.
My boss at the time was Chris Keevy, who's moved on. Who's an outstanding man. And so within the first hours of my job, I walked into his office and said, "Mr. Keevy, this is what I did. And this is what I looked at in the computer." And he just looked at me and said, "I appreciate you saying that." He goes, "I would not go on this site anymore." I said, "I agree. You're right."
I would not go on that site anymore. That's a good idea.
That's nothing better than working for a Catholic school and your first day, you fire that up on your computer screen. Yeah, that is an absolute classic.
That is that's not what you're looking for. NSFW.
Yes.
That's an NSFW.
There's no doubt about that.
Now, did we mention how often we're doing this nonsense?
Well, you and I have talked about this, and obviously from our feedback, I don't think people want to see our faces. Well, luckily, they don't have to see our faces, just our voices daily.
Right.
It's a little much. So what I think we're going to do, we're going to try this out for a while. We're going to podcast something and put something up on Facebook once a week. So every Wednesday is what I think we're going to do for, you know, anywhere from a 15 to 20 minute segment. And obviously, just once again, not looking to do anything special, just trying to break out the monotony for people who are certainly working from home, and obviously bring up some topics and things like that and just make things fun. So that's kind of what our plan is. So every Wednesday.
We're going to talk about things in our lives because we are two middle-aged men in Cleveland. We're also going to try to have some guests on to talk about things happening in Cleveland and Northern Ohio, things like that. And so because we mentioned that we both kind of got our, we kind of met through Ashland University, we have joining us today the sports information director at Ashland University, Dusty Sloan, to talk about sports there. They've had a successful run of across a number of sports here in recent years, and what it was like this past year when things wrapped up.
Dusty, how are you?
I'm fantastic, my friend. How are things today?
Doing very well. You know, it's a pleasure for you to be on with us to talk about kind of a crazy year you saw this past year in collegiate athletics. Let's be honest, it was probably something a lot of people didn't expect at all.
Yeah, you never go into working in collegiate athletics ever assuming that an entire season of spring, and actually it went into the end of the winter, gets entirely wiped out by something that we're seeing right now. Very disappointing for not just me, obviously, because I like to advocate for the student athletes, like to see our teams play, but obviously the coaches and players and everybody associated with the teams that didn't get the chance, A, to finish their winter seasons. We had four national championships or tournaments that were not finished, or in some cases didn't even get started. And then obviously the entire spring season was wiped out. So you feel bad for everybody who put in so much hard work and just wasn't able to see it finished off.
Hey, Dusty, who were those teams that were poised to participate in the postseason that then got, kind of the rug pulled out from under them?
Well, I was in Springfield, Missouri with the women's basketball team. We're just about to start the regional tournament. That didn't happen. We had two male swimmers at the swimming nationals up in Geneva, and I think they got a day in before that got stopped. And then we had the wrestling team at nationals in Sioux Falls, and we had our indoor track and field team down in Birmingham, and they never got to get started. So there were a lot of national championship potential in that group, a lot of Learfield Cup points potential in that group, and unfortunately they never even got to get started, or in some cases started and had to stop.
Now, when you mentioned the Learfield Cup, for folks who don't know, explain what that is and why that's special and important.
The Learfield Cup, the Director's Cup, that is the all sports awards, the standings for all sports in Division II. So they take, I believe it's the top 14. There might have been a change in it, but basically if you're under 14, all your sports, and it's ranked by your national finish as a team. So if you have like a golfer that goes individually, that doesn't count. But if you have high finishes as a team, my first year at Ashland University in 14-15, we were second in the country. So we've had a lot of top 10 finishes over the last 20 years, something to be very proud of. For the longest time, we've been the highest ranked private institution in Division II, which is something to be very proud of. But yes, there would have been a lot of Learfield Cup points. And obviously with the winter not finishing and the spring not playing, they're not going to do a Director's Cup this year. So that went out the window. But Ashland University has been one of the top athletic programs in Division II and something to be very proud of.
Dusty, one thing, obviously, it's tough to forecast or have an idea of what's going to happen. You were down there with the women's team, and what an odd situation where you're on a bus, you get to the basically the arena and then told you got to go back. Obviously, they had a very successful season, had some outstanding seniors. In your thought process, from the way you saw them play, I mean, do you feel as though they could have made a heck of a run?
Without question. This team, for in my mind, ranks right up there with the two national championship teams. And obviously, and also the two runner-up teams. Drury obviously was the host. It was a very unique situation going through the entire month of February with the regional rankings to where both those teams were undefeated and were in the same region, Ashland and Drury. And I'd never seen anything like that before. So the hope was that we would be able to host if somehow Drury was able to slip up or if the compilations, the rankings and stuff fell in our favor. It wouldn't have made any difference, as it turned out, because of what happened. But this team was dynamic. It was fun to watch, like the rest of them were. And I think Division II athletics was robbed of the opportunity of seeing what could have been the regional championship game between Ashland and Drury, which in my mind, more than likely, probably would have been the de facto national championship game, because the Midwest region was the toughest region, and not to knock anybody else that would have been at the Elite Eight, but I truly believe the winner of the Midwest regional would have won the national championship.
So, Dusty, you mentioned, you know, two past national championships. Let's talk a little bit about the recent history of women's basketball at AU and the success that they've experienced. It all started in the early 2010s, right around 2012, am I right?
2011, 2012, it all started. It's funny, my wife Mandy and I, we talk about, well, how did this start? And it's been about a decade, 9-10 seasons. And really it started with Sue Ramsey and the program that she built, but it also started with three players when they were able to recruit Diva Gerbeck, when they were able to get Jenna Stutzman as a transfer, and then finally when they were able to get Carrie Doherty, who now is head coach Carrie Pickens, as a transfer. When you had those three dominoes fall basically back to back to back, that was the impetus for the dominance that you're seeing now. And then that begot Lena Snyder and Andy Doherty and Jody Johnson and Renee Stimpert and Sarah Loomis and everybody, Maddie Dakin, and everybody you've seen come through the program in the last decade. And now going into next year, whatever that may look like, they're going to have six freshmen. They're going to have a couple starters back. They're going to have a freshman in Annie Roschak that fans may remember from North Canton Hoover, going to be moving more than likely into the starting lineup. So you really have three starters coming back next year with six freshmen coming in. A little bit of a different dynamic next year, but I would expect them to be right in that thick of the conference and the regional conversation again.
Talking about that time when this kind of started, and Dusty, obviously you have a history with the school. You were working for the Ashland Times-Gazette and obviously then had the opportunity to be the certainly involved with sports information. I at the time was working as a marketing director and all that, and then I kind of volunteered along with Ted to do some of their games on TV. That was a very interesting time with when Carrie transferred and when all of a sudden women's basketball team was really, really good. I mean, they had their signs of showing some very good prowess earlier with the likes of Jackie Mason, Elena Burma, things like that. But when Carrie came on the scene, I mean, in all honesty, from my years at school, when I was there from 1994 to 98 and then another 2 years till 2000, I had never experienced anything athletically with the crowds and the following or anything like that with the team as I saw from that year.
Absolutely. And Ken and Ted, you remember all this. We would see football games and even the classic 1997 homecoming game against Saginaw Valley that a lot of people remember when Mark Molk went over the top, gets the game winning touchdown, leads to an MIFC championship. Crowds weren't like what you're seeing now. Baseball last year with the regional tournament was really the first time that you've seen Donja's Field electric. With women's basketball, when Carrie Doherty came in, and her first year was her junior year when they lost the national championship in overtime, Diva Gerbeck got hurt. And Carrie and I have had these conversations. She was supposed to be a guard. That's what a lot of people don't remember, is when she came in and she was playing at Dayton, she was a guard. So you kind of think, how would history have changed had A, Diva Gerbeck not getting hurt the runner-up year, and B, if Carrie doesn't get hurt and misses, I think it was 7 or 8 games her senior year, because she's admitted that she would probably not be a coach right now, or maybe she wouldn't have thought of being a head coach had she not gotten hurt and seen those games from the bench the way she did. So it's always that fun game to kind of go, what if this had happened? What if that hadn't happened? But you're right. The crowds in that gym, even when we've taken 1,000 seats away with the renovation after the championship year, there are times where you can't fit any more people in there with a shoehorn. And it is, particularly when they play Grand Valley or Drury at home, it's amazing.
So Carrie Doherty, she a two-time Division II player of the year. Am I right on that?
Correct. Yep.
Okay. And she, obviously you mentioned she got hurt. Talk a little bit about that injury and her comeback.
Well, during her senior year, she got hurt, I believe it was a home game. It hurt her knee, and I think she missed 8 games. It might have been 7 games. I think it was 37 games. She played 30, somewhere along there. And during that time, they lost their only game of the season at Findlay. So there was a chance that they could have had yet another undefeated season, but you never know. Again, you're playing that what-if game. But Carrie has said that during that time off, because I don't think she was thinking of being a coach at that point. So when you're sitting on the bench and you're forced to sit there and for 7 games kind of watch the game from a different perspective, I think that's what spurred her on to be an assistant coach and now obviously as a very successful head coach through 2 seasons. But that team wasn't just – I mean, when you lose a Carrie Doherty, you still have a Diva Gerbeck, you still have a Taylor Woods, you still have a Lindsay Tanyak, you still have an Ashley Dorner. All of those players had to step up and won all but one game while she was gone. So people do remember Carrie Doherty during that time, but obviously it had to take quite a team effort to be able to win a national championship.
Oh, absolutely. And part of the athletic scene at that time was starting to come around altogether. I mean, the women's team obviously put Ashland on the map in many different facets, but during that time, the football team was starting to get pretty good. Men's basketball is showing some strides, but the one that I have just been completely impressed with, and I think I'm more maybe fearful of the guy that's in charge, would be the track and field program with Judd Logan and all that. And one thing that I don't know if many people realize is that last year they won national championships, which as a team in track and field, that's unheard of. Let's be honest, Dusty. That's very difficult to do.
Yeah, and it's the way they did it. Judd Logan – I always make the comment that whenever I interview him to do a preview for our website for a meet coming up, I always come back to the office. I feel like I'm ready to run through a brick wall. I love talking to Judd Logan. And the thing about what happened last year with the national championship, they won an indoor team championship and they won an outdoor team championship in the same year, both in the exact same manner. On the very last event of the meet, the 4x4 relay, and both by a single point at the end of the meet. They talk about the tradition of Ashland University track and field, and it spans decades, starting with Bill Gallagher. You talk about the great names the people have competed, the Sean Robbins, the Kurt Thompsons, the Jackie Jeschelnigs, the Adrian Blewitts, up to now who I've seen, Drew Wendell and Miles Pringle, and now into Trevor Bassett. And you look at everything that they've done, but to finally win a team national championship last year, and to think about Ashland University – where we're at in the North Central Ohio private institution, and we've won 4 team national championships in 2 sports since 2013, and to be prominent in those 2 sports and really as an entire athletic department, it goes back to people like Judd Logan. It goes back to people like Sue Ramsey and Kerry Pickens and people like that, and the types of athletes that we're able to attract. Judd Logan and his assistant Ernie Clark, who does sprints and hurdles and relays, they go get the talent that should be at a Division I level, but they come here because of the people here and because of what we do as an athletic department.
Hey, Dusty, what about for you personally as the SID? Talk a little bit about what it takes to be the SID at a, I think it's fair to say, a premier Division II sports program.
It's awesome. I mean, my story, I mean, Kenny D realizes this. I mean, with being taught by Al King, and he was there as the SID for over 20 years, I never thought that this
opportunity. That's the doctor. Dr. King.
Yes. I never thought that I would get this opportunity. I figured that he would be the SID until he retired and that I would be somewhere else. And I would – it really fell into place for me. And to be able to jump in – right away. A lot of people don't know the story. I was at the Times Gazette for 15 and a half years as a sports editor, sports writer, leave for a couple of years out of town, come back, had trouble finding work, was delivering pizzas at Domino's, and then I get this opportunity to be the SID, and I get jumped, I get thrown into the deep end in October of 2014, right in the middle of a school year. So I didn't know anything about the position other than what I used to know when Al was working when I was a student. Well, the position's a lot different now than it was then. You don't fax things. You don't write hometown releases and mail them out to newspapers. We don't do that anymore. We don't have the hotline that Ken remembers that you call in and give the scores after the game so people can call to find out what the score is. We don't do any of that stuff anymore. There's no more media guides. So I had to jump in the middle of a school year, basically at the end of the fall season, getting ready for winter, not knowing anything about the position. And God's blessed me with a lot of ability and the ability to adapt because I had to do it pretty fast. Levi Rex was my GA. He was in his first year. He was trying to learn. I'm trying to teach him. Well, I'm trying to learn. And I've been blessed with a lot of great support at Ashland University. Obviously, Levi's gone on to bigger and better things. Then Kyle Condor was the GA, and he's gone on to bigger and better things. And now Scott Vandersloot has been our GA, and he is going to go on to major things. And we've got Brendan Bittner, who is my co-director of athletic communications, who has obviously brought a lot to me as far as how to do things differently that I wouldn't know because I don't have the background in it. But to be an SID and to be working in your athletic department of the alma mater where you have such an affinity for in your own hometown, I couldn't be more blessed.
Well, Dusty, we really appreciate the time today. Obviously, this is something new that Ted and I decided to come up with to kind of break up the monotony for people. Obviously, many people are working from home and don't necessarily have a lot of things, so we're trying to bring up different topics and bring on different people, and we really do appreciate you taking the time, and we hope you continue to stay safe with you and your wife, and we look forward to catching up here very soon.
Guys, it's been a blast, and it's great to always talk to you guys, and be safe as well.
Some very interesting times at Ashland University, and obviously we thank Dusty Sloan for his time today. Well, that about wraps it up for today. Do want to mention that you can find these podcasts on SoundCloud.com. If you just search Two Middle-Aged Men in Cleveland, you'll find us. And obviously at the moment, it's also on our Facebook feeds. And who knows, depending on the interest level, we'll see where else, maybe we need to we need this to have its own Facebook page or something like that. We'll see.
Yeah, we could take a look at it. The other thing is if anybody has any comments or there's a topic you want us to talk about, please suggest. We certainly know a lot of different people. I've kind of reached out to a few different people here in the last couple of days, and we probably have some more guests coming up in the future. Not going to announce who those people are right now, but we do have some people lined up. And so we're just going to bring up some interesting topics and make it fun and make everybody laugh a bit. So.
Two middle-aged men living the dream in Cleveland.
This is it. 44 years ago, this is what I thought I'd be doing. There's no doubt about
it. Yeah, this is it. Yeah, you got that right. Yep.
Well, Ted, you have a great week, my friend. Stay safe, and I look forward to us doing this next week.
You know, as my great friend Thor Tolo once said, when someone said something similar to him, his response, swerve and take chances.
Can't say it any better. Have a great week, buddy. Talk to you soon. Thanks, everybody. Two middle-aged men in Cleveland.